Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Wednesday, June 19th. Are you in what seems like a hopeless situation? With God, believers can endure and thrive during the dark moments in our life.
If you want God's best in your life and you want to make your life count, then you can expect to travel the road of adversity. It's always there. And it's amazing how somehow God uses adversities in our life to shape us, to make us fit, and to equip us to do the things that He desires to do in us and through us in life. And when you think about what adversity is those dark moments in our life. That is the times when we feel tried and tempted. We feel hurt, misused, and abused. We feel depressed, anxious, fearful, thoughtless, sinful, all those things that a person goes through, sorrow and loss. These are dark moments in our life, and God does not promise that we'll have life without dark moments. We're going to have them. And what we have to ask is this: how are we going to respond to them? And the way we respond to them is determined by a number of things, one of which is how long that moment of darkness lasts. Somebody says, well, for me, it hasn't been a moment of darkness. It's been hours, days, weeks, moments, years of darkness. Well, let's ask the question, why do you think God has allowed that in your life for so long? The dark moments of our life last only as long as is necessary for God to accomplish His purpose. So there is a limitation on them. There's a purpose for them. There's a very specific purpose. They last only as long as is necessary for God to accomplish His purpose. And what I'd like for us to do in this message is to illustrate this very truth through the life of Joseph. Because beginning as a teenager, his dark moments began as a teenager and lasted 13 years. So I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of Genesis. And let's look, if you will, in the 37th chapter. And I want to give us a little background about what's going on in this life so that you'll see how this all relates together. The 37th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Now Jacob lived in the land where his fathers had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. And these are the records of the generations of Jacob. And yet he starts out with Joseph because there's an awesome story here. So he begins, Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel, this is his other name, Jacob's other name. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a vari-colored tunic. And you know, we call it the coat of many colors. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. That is, he lived in an atmosphere of pure hatred. And remember, this is 11 brothers. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, please listen to this dream which I've had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my head. Now, I don't think I would have told them that part of the dream. I don't believe I would have. Then his brother said to him, are you actually going to reign over us, or are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dream and for his word. Now he had another dream and related it to his brothers and said, lo, I've had still another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. He related this to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you've had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you to the ground? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept these sayings in his mind. Then his brothers went to pasture their father's flock in Shechem. Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? Come and I will send you to them, And he said to them, I will go. Now, that was a very unfortunate trip that he went on. What I want you to see with that background is this. This young man, beginning at the age of 17, went through some very, very dark moments in his life. And I want us to think about the kind of moments he went through. And as we said, moments can be hours or whatever it might be. First of all, he grew up in a home where he was hated, totally hated. They were jealous of him because the father showed partiality, made him his coat of many colors. So he was his father's pet. It wasn't his fault. They hated him. Three times it says they hated him. They were jealous and they hated him. So he had that atmosphere in which he grew up, that is atmosphere of pure rejection. Well, he goes to see his brothers and they decide, you know what? We're sick and tired of him. We're going to get rid of him. So they decide to kill him. They said, we'll kill him and then we will take an animal and shed its blood, put it on his coat of many colors, and we'll take it back to the father and tell him that he was killed by a wild beast. So what did they do? They threw him in this pit. And he stayed in there for a little while, not too long, and this caravan came by, and they thought, wait a minute, why don't we just sell him? Might as well make a little money off him. Why don't we just sell him to this caravan? So they sold him to this caravan. Now, he has hated by his brothers, been separated from his parents, and now he's on his way to somewhere. He doesn't know exactly where. And getting further and further and further away from home and feeling more and more lonely, more and more rejected, more and more fearful, no doubt, not knowing what in the world is going to happen to him. So when they get down to Egypt, they put him on a block and offer him up as a slave. So it just so happens, by the grace of God, that Potiphar, who is the head of the bodyguard for Pharaoh, bought him, took him home. Now he's a slave. So naturally, he starts out with all the dirty work that has to go on and thinking about, you know, this coat of many colors he had, and how his parents took good care of him, and now he's scrubbing floors and doing all the nasty, dirty work. And so, but he did it so well that after a season of time, Potiphar looked at him and watched him, and he thought, well, he's very disciplined in what he does. He's not complaining, and what is it about this guy? So next thing you know, over a period of time, I'm sure, he puts his household, whole household, under Joseph's authority. He took care of everything. Every single thing, he put it into his hands. Now you say, well, that what should have made things better. Better, but remember this. He still feels the hatred and jealousy of his brothers. He's still away from his parents. He's a Hebrew, and he's down here in a culture that he knows nothing about. He can't even speak the language, and he had to learn that. And so everything about it is turmoil and frustration, anxiety, and all the rest. And then he's doing his best, and the Bible says that he's a success with Potiphar. But he's too good looking. So Potiphar's wife begins to look at him and lust after him and does everything in her power to get him to go to bed with her. And he wouldn't do it. And he said, how can I do that when your husband has put me in total charge of his household and he trusts me? And the answer is no. And so she frames him and tricks him. And so what happens when she tells her husband? Naturally, he's going to believe her, I think. I think he must have had some question, because if she were that way toward him, more than likely she'd been looking around, maybe it's somebody else, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, he couldn't do anything but put him in prison. Now, think about this. You go into prison by the bodyguard, head of the bodyguard of Pharaoh, and you go into prison as a criminal for attempting to seduce the bodyguard's wife. You're in prison, and you're going to be forgotten. Throw him in prison. How long he was in Potiphar's house, we don't know. How long he's in prison, we don't know. But one thing for certain, talks about him being in chains and stocks. And so imagine how they treated him when he first got in prison. You scoundrel, you criminal. I mean, imagine the kind of turmoil he went through. But in spite of all that, after a period of time, the next thing you know, the prison keeper is watching him and noticing his response and his attitude. And before long, he puts Joseph in charge of the prison. So wherever he goes, he's a success at whatever he does. And you say, well, that wouldn't be too bad. Wait a minute, he's in prison. We're talking about dungeons and prison. We're talking about bad stuff. Well, the baker and the butler get thrown in the prison. That is Pharaoh's bacon butler get thrown in the prison. And so they were talking, and they had a dream. So Joseph said, well, let me see if I can interpret that dream. So he interprets a dream that one of them would be restored and one of them would be beheaded. And so the butler would be restored, the baker would be beheaded. And so, sure enough, that's what happened. The baker was beheaded. And so Joseph said to the butler, when you get back, would you just remind Pharaoh that I interpreted this dream and remember me? He said, oh, I'm sure I will. Forgot him. How long he went by? Probably a couple of years or so. Anyway, it was God's timing. And so one day he's in prison, and he is approached by someone who said, you need to shave. We got some new clothes, some clean clothes for you, and follow me. Well, what was all that about? Don't usually execute people in clean clothes. But so he didn't have an idea of what was happening. And they take him before Pharaoh, and you know the story. Pharaoh says, I've had these dreams, and I hear you can interpret them. And it was the dreams about 7 lean years and 7 fruitful years. And he interpreted that dream in such a powerful way that Pharaoh, now this is a Hebrew, it's a young Hebrew kid to some degree. Now he's 30 years of age, and where has he spent his life? Spent his life as a slave, spent his life in prison as a criminal who was there for attempting to seduce Potiphar's wife. Not a ghost of a chance. Pharaoh said, I've not found this kind of wisdom anywhere. Putting you in charge, you're second to me. Whatever you say goes. And so you're it. You're the prime minister. Whatever Joseph says in Egypt is what happens. So for 13 years, it was one experience of darkness after the other. Moments of darkness, trials and adversity. And most any of us would think, well, now, it looks like God could have sort of fixed that in a couple of years or so. No. This is what's so very important you don't want to miss. It took 13 years. Now, more than likely, some of you are going through some of those dark moments in your life, and you're feeling it, and you've got the same questions he has. God, why are you letting this happen to me? Lord, I've been a Christian a long time. I've been trying to do what's right. I've tried to be obedient to you. Or it may be that you would say, Lord, I know I haven't been what I ought to be. I know I've strayed. I know I have been backslidden. I know I've wandered from you. And in other words, whatever it may be, but you're still asking the question, why is God allowing this to happen to you? So more than likely, if you're going through one of those tough moments in your life, listen to me carefully, because there is a biblical, godly, truthful, eternal answer to that. So we all find ourselves at times in our life going through dark moments. Sometimes I like to think of them as maybe as dark as a shadow. And then there's some moments that are absolutely midnight black. You don't see any hope. You don't know how God could possibly work you out of that. Well, the question that comes is, what is God's purpose in these times? What is God's purpose in allowing us these dark moments in life, these roads and pathways of adversity that we all travel at some point in our life? Sometimes, let me make sure we understand this, sometimes it's because of something we've done. We've put ourselves in that position, and God has to work us through it. Sometimes it's not anything that we've done, and we say, well, God, I don't understand why. And every pastor has heard that question a million times. Why has God allowed this in my life? So let's ask ourselves the question, are there sensible answers? In other words, are there reasons? Does God have any reason for allowing this to happen to a young man like Joseph who really wanted to be obedient to God? So the answer is yes. So let's go back now when he's 17. What is God doing? What's the purpose of this? Well, first of all, God is preparing him for his future. You say, well, I think that'd be an easier way to be prepared. Watch this. God doesn't make any mistakes, because some of you may think the same thing. Well, I don't think this is necessary. But now watch this. He's going to be the prime minister of Egypt. So what is God doing? He's getting him ready for the task ahead of him. So what's included in that? Well, first of all, he has to learn something about Egypt. He doesn't know anything about Egypt. So he's got to learn something about their whole way of life. How do they think? What do they like? What do they dislike? What works? What doesn't work? And their whole culture is different. They're a culture of many, many gods. When he believes with all of his heart in one true God, taught by his father, Yahweh, Jehovah is the one true God. All else are idols. So he has to deal with that. Then he has to deal with the whole idea of learning the language. And can you imagine being bought by Potiphar and being brought to Potiphar's household and somebody giving him instruction? He doesn't understand Egyptian. So he had to learn the language, learn something about the culture, and something else had to happen in his life. He had to learn to keep his focus on God, because if he did not, he would just sink. He had to learn to trust God. God is in the process of preparing him. He had to teach him to keep his focus on God and to keep him aware of the fact that God was with him no matter what it appeared to be. It didn't look like God was anywhere around. When he left home, there was no sign of God that he could see. Caravan bought him. Potiphar bought him. Now he's in prison. There's no evidence of God. Keeping him aware of the presence of God, building his faith. Well, how did he build his faith? Because everything he set his hand to, God prospered him and God blessed him no matter what. Did he suffer during those times? Absolutely. Suffered horribly, I'm sure, in prison to begin with. And being separated and with the feeling that more than likely he would never see his parents again. And for Hebrew families, we don't even understand the kind of connection those Hebrew families had. Fathers and sons, especially fathers and sons, but the whole family. And so God's teaching him discipline. You do what you're told to do, whether you understand it or not. Teaching him perseverance. You just keep going, keep moving. You don't give up and you don't quit. Teaching him to realize that God is in charge of his life no matter what they do to you, no matter what happens, God is still God. What was he doing? He was training him to be a strong leader because he had to have courage. His courage had to be built as he faced some very difficult things. So in these 13 years, which appeared to be dark moments, wasted time, what was going on? God was in the process of preparing Joseph, this Hebrew boy who knew nothing about Egypt, to become the prime minister of all of Egypt, sitting next to the Pharaoh himself. You would never have figured that out at a 17-year-old age. So what was God's purpose? God had a purpose for Joseph. Now, I know that some of you have a hard time believing this. God has a purpose for you that is just as important to God as it was for his purpose for Joseph. You say, yeah, but look what Joseph did. That's not the issue. The issue is, how does God view us? Listen, if God allowed you to be born, God has a purpose for your life. He had a purpose for Joseph's life. And that purpose is very clear to us thousands of years later, but it wasn't to him in the beginning of that time. He has a purpose for your life. And so what is he doing? He is purposely working in your life today. Listen, and what he has in mind is not only today, but tomorrow. He has a purpose for your life, and therefore you want to do the best because he has something in mind.
Thank you for listening to The Dark Moments in Our Life. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.